Hello, and welcome to Mike and Steve, episode 3. Mike, good to see you.
Steve.
How are you doing?
Oh, my God. It is so good to be back.
It's been a while.
It has been too long.
At least a year and a half.
Yeah, but it's good to be back. We're back, and we're doing it again, and it is awesome.
Due to popular demand. We wanted to stop doing it altogether.
but you know, people on Facebook kept commenting and be like, what happened to this? And there's a need for this. People want to know what's going on.
Right. We are filling a niche that nothing else is filling. So we're back as a service to you only.
You think I want to be doing this?
I have so many other things I could do.
Hell no.
I don't want to do this. I could be playing video games. This is ridiculous. So we're back and we're psyched.
Why the delay?
Why the delay? Okay. Yeah. So why the delay? So, I don't want to sound like I'm making excuses, but I did almost die.
He did, seriously.
And I'm not joking. It's not a joke. Well, I'm kind of joking. I did have a medical situation where I had blood clots in my lungs, pulmonary embolism. I had to go to the emergency room, get it treated. I was in the hospital for like a week, and then I had some rest. That was disruptive, I would say. That doesn't account for all 18 months. Also moved into a new house. That took some time away from the podcast.
Had some kids, moved into houses, almost died.
That's Mike.
The whole rigmarole.
The whole rigmarole. This is what other people would just call like being an adult. Suck it up
almost
and deal.
Dying. No, almost dying, man. That's a big, serious deal.
I feel like at our age, a lot of people have almost died.
It's getting to the point where we're going to all start almost dying. It'll be a regular thing.
It's pretty common. It's like I see those commercials on television for the different drugs and everything, when they have the pictures of the old people, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm on some of those now. I've heard of those. I've thought about that one. Maybe I should talk to my doctor about Zellatrix or whatever the hell.
Well, and that's why it's urgent that we get back on track with this podcast.
Yes. Because we have a lot of more classmates to catch up with, and we want to talk to them while we're still healthy and vigorous.
Yes, definitely want to talk to them while we're still vigorous and virile.
Virile.
Okay.
So if you're vigorous and virile, give us a call.
Hey, it's Jen Grace Kramer. Jen Grace, you guys would know me as. Just listened to the Tracy Marzich podcast for the seventh time. And we have a listening party tonight, so say hi, guys.
Hi!
So we all like the Mike and Steve show. I'm just curious as to why it's not the Steve and Mike show.
Aaron Hawes, Aaron.
Aaron
Hawes. Captain Aaron Hawes.
Captain Aaron Hawes.
Awesome guy.
He's guest today.
We interviewed him like a year and a half ago, so this is kind of an old interview, but it's still relevant.
I think it's totally relevant. I guess we'll find out when we play it and put it on this podcast. But I think it's still relevant. I think here's some, like, I think this sums up Aaron very nicely, and that's I think Mike, you emailed Aaron and asked him if he wanted to be a guest, and he's the third one now. And I think the other guests have been sort of like, I mean, they've been enthusiastic, but they've been kind of like, what is this thing? Like, what is this? let's talk more. Yeah. I might be interested in that. What? But Aaron, what did he say? Like right away? He was like, absolutely.
He's like, yeah, he said, absolutely. He's like, absolutely. When? Okay. I know. It's like, man.
And then like 2 days later, or maybe even the next day, we recorded the interview.
Yeah.
So
he's a good guy. He's a good guy. I'm proud. I am proud to have been a classmate. I'm proud to be from the, you know, same, we're the same people as Aaron. He's one of our people, you know? And so I'm proud that he's one of us.
Absolutely. I'm proud of Aaron. It was great catching up with him. I think we're going to try something different this episode and not banter for 5 minutes about handshakes. and just get right into it.
Yeah, right? We're going to start getting right into it. We're just going to get right into it.
Because I think you're probably tuning in. Everyone's tuning in to hear a new classmate rather than us goof around for half an hour.
Yeah.
Right.
And so with that,
let's get right into our discussion and conversation with Aaron Hawes.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. So now we are going to this is the main part of the podcast, and we have with us, I'm very happy to say, and I'm very grateful that Aaron Hawes is with us today. Hi, Aaron. How's it going?
Hey, everybody. Hey, Mike. Hey, Steve.
Hi, Aaron. Welcome. Good to see you again.
Good to see you guys too. It's been a while.
It's been decades.
Yeah. Decades, literally decades.
Yeah.
So, Aaron, before we begin talking, what we'd like to do is like try to paint a picture of like each guest, kind of as how we remember them. So, like just so because you know, there's people listening, like people, a lot of people from our class are listening. They have their own memories, and then maybe there's some people from our class, some people who didn't even go to high school with us who might not know, you know, you. Yeah, first we'll start off, Steve. You have our yearbook.
I have the yearbook.
The Crayola Crayon yearbook.
You remember this?
Oh, there it is. There it is.
I kept this because I had a premonition I might need it for something. You're
planning to do a podcast?
I wrote in the somebody wrote in the back of the book, this is going to be useful when you do a podcast someday. I don't know who that was. So the yearbook has a list of activities that each graduating senior was involved in. So we like to sort of use that as like the objective overview of what someone did, like who they are, like based on what they did in high school. So if I can find it, let's see. Here's the directory. Here we are. Senior directory. We've got Gurren, Gustafson, Aaron Hawes. Okay, so... Aaron ran track in 11th and 12th grade. Project Excel, 9th, 10th, and 11th, and 12th. I don't know what that is. You'll have to explain that one. Marching band, I knew. 11th and 12th only?
That sounds right. Yep. Yeah, that's right.
I thought you were there all along. And then jazz ensemble, 11, 12. Whoa, okay. I'm going to need to take a break. You got a lot of activities. Jazz ensemble junior and senior year. I'm going to read a little faster now and also into the microphone because I realized I wasn't talking into it. German club, 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th. Holy scheiße. NHS, 11th and 12th. Pep band, 11th and 12th. Pit orchestra, 12th. Band, 10th, 11th, 12th. Gold tones, 12th. Rotary scholar, 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th grade. Damn.
Wow. Aaron. I'm impressed, man.
So that is a list of activities.
Yeah, well, I believe Star Wars fan club might have been in there somewhere too. Maybe.
Was that a real thing?
I thought it was, but I don't know.
See, I
are you
like
serious?
Wait, really?
I don't think so.
You got me.
So what's weird is I knew you, Aaron. Like I was friends with you, and I had no idea you were in all that stuff. I don't remember that. I feel like you hid it. I feel like you had all those things because it was like
you know, it's good to have those things, but you didn't want people to know. I don't know. Could that be?
Just kept it all in the down low.
Well, how do you know? Yeah, like some of the stuff, Mike, like if you weren't in the German club, you probably wouldn't know, I guess. That's kind of like a secret organization.
Well, yeah. secret after school organization where we speak German.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's different than like being in the band or playing a sport, I think. Yeah. Like it's sort of like, you know, who the band kids are usually.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know that's how you and I cross paths.
Yeah.
And, you know, Mike, and I think, you know, I think back to you, Mike, I think of physics class and also Reiner's Principles of Democracy class. I think we were in there together.
Yeah, I think we were like in study hall together sometimes.
Yeah. And gosh, what else? Steve, I remember you from band. I think you were in several of those classes too. I'm thinking like was it Principles of Democracy, American History, whatever it was.
I'm trying to remember if I was in Principles of Democracy. I definitely had Kreiner. Because I very clearly remember hating her, and I think she tried to fail me, and then like years later I realized she was a great teacher. But like at the time I kind of hated her, but she was interesting. But I don't know if I was in your class.
So anyway, like so here's how I remember Aaron. Okay. So I don't know if this is like, you know, it's weird. Like your memories, they get confused with other people. Like, so I don't even know if this is you. I think
all right.
Could be some other guy.
Well, I mean, there's some things I know are definitely you, but there's other, like that. Like I have these vague early memories of you. Like I don't think it was middle school. Maybe it's like early high school or something. It's like this tall, like, kind of nerdy looking guy with like really thick glasses, but then like, was that you? I don't know, but then
that
like
sounds, that sounds pretty accurate.
I think that was me. Are you thinking of me?
That was Steve too. But then like you lost that, like you realized that wasn't a great look for you or something. I don't know. Then you became, you know, you weren't nerdy after that, like you were just like a regular guy. And then yeah, like I remember. Oh yeah, I also remember. Like we were in the same home room. I think we had like, and I don't know if this is her name, but it was like Mrs. Kowalski or something. Does that ring a bell? That
sounds familiar. Was she like short blonde hair? Older? Yeah, does that sound right?
Yeah, I think so. And she was the one who, like, I just remember her always saying like, "Oh my God, Aaron, your voice is so deep and sexy." Like, it's like basic. She was saying that. She was like, "You should be on the radio." Do you remember a teacher saying
that?
I
do remember that. And I think you're right. I think that was Kowalski. She wasn't it 11th grade American history? That's where I think I'm remembering her back to.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, I remember that. And yeah, and then I remember, you know, like senior year, we got closer. We were, you know, pretty good friends. And yeah, I remember it, like just sitting together and, you know, study hall and, you know, just messing around. And
yeah,
you know, I thought of you like a smart guy, good guy. I felt like I could trust you. One other story I remember is one time we were in study hall and like we were with a group of guys and we were like playing this stupid game where somebody had a lighter and you could like, we were like, who could hold their finger over the lighter the longest, the flame. And all of us, like we were trying it, we'd hold it like a couple seconds and be like, ah, you know, like, and we were just trying to get a little bit longer. Maybe somebody had a stopwatch. We were trying a little bit longer than the other one. And then I remember you had it and you like, you lit it under your finger and like your face is just like, it's like, no emotion, and like the flame is under your finger. And I'm like, what is going on? And then I see this blister form, like you're burning your finger, and there's like no expression on your face.
I remember like, that also. You guys,
I felt like one of us had to be like, Aaron, snap, come on, you won.
It's all about the competition. That sounds pretty accurate. That sounds about right.
I feel like that happened more than once too. I feel like that was like a regular occurrence in our study hall.
That could quite possibly be. I can remember. a game, Paper, Rock, Scissors, Pain. I don't remember if, I think, Mike, you might have been involved with that.
What was it?
Yeah, Paper, Rock, Scissors, Pain. And the person who lost got their knuckles cracked with a pencil. I think it was someone was, like, cracking knuckles with a pencil. I can't remember. It was really sadistic. So it does not surprise me at all.
I remember the game. I remember playing a game in that study hall where we would try to sneak out and see who could go the farthest away from high school and bring back something that proved where you were. I don't remember who was in. I know it was like the same study hall. That was a lot of hijinks. Because that was like senior year study hall. We were all done, basically. Yeah.
That was fun. That was a lot of fun.
I remember I got to the Dairy Queen and got a napkin or something like that. That was pretty good.
I did that. I went to the Dairy Queen.
No, you didn't. I went to the Dairy Queen.
I went to the Dairy
Queen. I remember somebody went to the Dairy Queen. I remember this story.
Mike, you went like down the hall and got like an eraser from someone's office. And you're like, oh, I got down like 10 feet.
Square of toilet paper from the restroom.
Yeah. I went to the Dairy Queen.
If you would have gone to the Dairy Queen, you would have got like out of school suspension for like 3 days. But me, like, they didn't note it. Like,
yeah, because you've always got away with everything.
Yeah.
I would have smarted off and gotten myself in worse trouble. I made it to Stowe High School and back one time.
No, you didn't. So, Steve, what's your memories of Aaron?
So my memories, I remember we were in band, and that's the main place I remember. We both played the same exact instrument, like not the same horn. Like we didn't have like different mouthpieces attached, but we both played the tenor saxophone.
Yeah.
I'm surprised to see you were only in the marching band 11 and 12, because I thought, I remember you being in the marching band with me the whole time. So was that something you came to later?
It was something I came to later. I started off with like the, what was it, concert band, I think, just the regular band in my 10th grade year, and then joined marching band 11th and 12th grade. So yeah, that's definitely I think where you and I really got to know each other.
Yeah, and it's like, I remember it was like, because we were tall and nerdy, we both played the saxophone, and it's like, yeah, it was like a bizarro version of myself.
Yeah.
So I remember that.
Yeah.
The other thing, Mike and I think both remember this. I remember, I think your father came and talked to the, was that your stepfather? Right?
Yep.
May have been Kreiner's class, actually.
I think it was Kowalski's.
Yeah.
Was that Kowalski's class?
Yes.
Kowalski or what? I don't know.
Mrs. K.
Was that Mrs. K? I don't even remember her at all, but I remember him coming and it being like this mind-blowing experience. Came and talked about, I don't know if you want to talk about this on the podcast or what, but came and talked about, I can edit this out if you don't want to talk about it, but. Came in and had some just mind-blowing and like real stories about serving in the Vietnam War, and it was like,
yeah, it was.
I know, yeah, it made an impression on Mike.
Yeah, it made a huge impression on me. I remember, and I actually even wrote my application to college essay about it, because it was like so intense. It's like we're just there in class. We're like, okay, this guy's gonna talk to us about the Vietnam War. Okay, regular day, and then it's like, he's talking about like serious like. Like he like went through hell, man, and then he's talking like, I mean, serious, like people getting beheaded and like pregnant women, like, I mean, getting slaughtered. Like it's not like, it was not pretty. And he was like, you could tell it. I mean, this was probably 30 years after it happened, and you could tell he was still really affected by it. And I just remember after that, I was just like blown. I couldn't believe it. And then after, I remember walking in the hall after class and I was just like, what the fuck? It just like felt like I was like numb or something. I don't know. Yeah. But that's crazy.
That was definitely my stepfather. He came in, our class was the first year he did it. And I also know that he came in for the class of 95. So like the following year he did the same presentation again. And yeah, I mean, that's something to hear him, you know, he's somebody who obviously he had a very big impact on my childhood, obviously being my stepfather, but to hear that perspective and that real world experience of what war is really like. And, you know, and it's interesting how that stands out to both of you. And I can tell you, like, he, you know, to what you said, Mike, how it hadn't impacted him. He did suffer really, truly with post-traumatic stress disorder for really the rest of his life. I'm sorry to say he passed away in late 2011. But yeah, that whole experience really marked him. And it was something that, you know, for me, growing up with that, that's one of the reasons I went in the military. And, you know, to see his stories and what he had been through, but also the service he did. But it's also something that made me when I'm interested in psychology when I was in college, because he to watch like what that could do to someone's mind. And even years after the fact, it was something else. But yeah, that was my stepfather.
Yeah, man, that was, I mean, the things he described, it basically was like hell, I remember. And it was like, yeah, it doesn't seem like it could get much worse than those things. But, man.
Yeah.
So.
All right.
Sorry to bring, we should have, you know, like I screwed up. I got to say, we usually like try to start the interview, I think, with like,
this is so lighthearted, guys. What should we talk about?
We usually try to get into the deep shit later on, and I just kind of dive right into it. So I'm sorry about that. This part's supposed to be kind of lighthearted.
Yeah. Now we're going to play a game called Make the Sound with Your Mouth. Just kidding.
Maybe I should cue the music and we can reset this whole thing.
Yeah, maybe you should edit it to like later.
I might try to do that actually.
So Aaron, the next segment is like, if you could give us like a brief timeline of events since high school, like what you've been up to since high school.
Oh, it's been a full agenda. So after high school, I went on to University of Akron, for all 4 years of undergrad. I ultimately graduated in 1998. I enrolled in ROTC at the University of Akron, and through that was commissioned into the Army as a second lieutenant. I graduated with bachelor in psychology and then a minor in military science. Hmm. Went straight on to active duty, and actually right after college, like literally 3 weeks later, I'm on the road driving across the country to go to Fort Lewis, Washington, where I spent the first 3 months living out there, working as a safety officer and a trainer. Drove back across the country from Washington to Maryland, lived in Maryland for 6 months while I was trained, and then ultimately landed at Fort Hood, Texas, where I was stationed for 3 years during my time in the Army. And served as an ordnance officer in the Army, was actually on active duty on 9/11. An experience I'll never forget. But you know, as my active duty commitment wound down, I found myself looking at what do I want to do next. And I took a path that most likely anyone who knew me in high school would never think, including myself, would go. I went from the Army into pharmaceutical sales, and that's how I landed in Pittsburgh. And so I got out. So I'm getting out of the Army here in Texas. My whole thing was, okay, I'm willing to move anywhere. I just need to be near a decent-sized city. And Pittsburgh, how different could that be from Akron, Cleveland? And so I moved there sight unseen, and turns out it's significantly different than Akron anyway.
How did you get the job? Yeah, how did you were you specifically looking for pharmaceutical sales? Did somebody recommend that, or did it just kind of
– a combination of all of that. So I was getting ready to get out of the Army, and – here I am. I'm like an ordnance officer. I'm like, okay, so what do I do? Like, when you're in the military, you go into the civilian world. It's like this big mystery. Like, what's out there? I don't even know. And so there are a lot of recruiters who specialize in military officers, and it turned out that a lot of pharmaceutical companies like to hire military officers because of the discipline, the self-starting, et cetera. So there's actually it's like this little sub-market that's going on where they're recruiting military officers getting out. So that's how I ultimately ended up connected with Abbott Laboratories, is the company I landed with. And yeah, that's how I made that transition. So if you would have told me in high school that I would end up a sales rep, I would never have believed you in a million years, but that's how it happened.
I wouldn't have believed myself either, or you, actually.
Before we move on, you mentioned being in the active duty at 9/11. Like, what was that like? Like, what could you tell? Like, what happened? Like,
I remember that morning clear as day. So I was at the time I was a personnel officer for my battalion, and I was actually ironically doing a simulated warfighter exercise. So it's like a warfighter exercise in a computer sim lab, like a big, almost like a computer game. So I was got in the car to go to work that morning, and listening to the radio, I started to hear what I'm sure all of us heard about the plane crash in the building. By the time I got into the warfighter exercise, the first tower had fallen. And I remember this shift. Most younger folks these days that grew up in their first part of the 21st century, the late 90s, early 2000s, that was a peacetime army. It was a different world. And to be in it on that day and have the gears shift, it's like all of a sudden the army shifted to we're in a war footing and armed patrols going out. And I remember going back to my office as a battalion personnel officer. My first task was to get accountability of the 1,000 soldiers in our battalion. Who did we have on leave? Did we have anyone on those planes? Did we have anyone at the Pentagon? And then start pulling together. Once we had accountability, start armed patrol, start making sure that, everyone start to get ready for who knows what's going to come. And I remember going to meetings and, we didn't know what was going on. It was mid middle of the night, 1 o'clock in the morning, and we're starting to look at, okay, if XYZ happens, what's our personnel look like? Whose goes? And you're the officer in charge at the time made a remark that, right now, these names we pick, these could be soldiers we're sending to their death. We don't know right now, so let's take this seriously. I mean, it was just, it's something that definitely stays with me, and to this day, it's just I can relive every moment of that day.
This is going to take us into the drama genre of podcasting now. Aaron, where were you? I missed where you were on that day.
Fort Hood, Texas.
That was in Fort Hood. Okay.
Yeah. So, so coming off of that, I became a pharmaceutical sales rep. So, it's shifted gears a little bit on the intensity.
Maybe you had enough.
I got out of the Army, became a rep, and I moved to Pittsburgh, and, I was in Pittsburgh for 12 years. I lived in Pittsburgh the longest since of any place I've lived since I lived in Ohio. And that's actually where I ended up meeting my wife. I got my graduate degree there. And so it was held multiple sales rep jobs within the Pittsburgh area. And then in 2014, got promoted up to be a trainer, moved to Columbus, Ohio, and then got promoted again to be a district manager and got moved down to Virginia, Richmond area, where I landed now.
Okay.
So that's amazing.
I was just going to say, I saw you just had your 10-year anniversary. You've been married for 10 years. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations. So I was going to ask too, when you were talking about the military, why did you decide to get into the Army?
Large influence, of course, was my stepfather.
Yeah.
And also my grandfather had served. He had been a D-Day. He'd been to Battle of the Bulge. And it was something that I wanted to do. It was a challenge. And that's really what drove me to do it.
Yeah. I should tell you this story. That's kind of funny because before we did this, I was just having dinner with my wife. And she said, I have to do the podcast. And she said, who are you interviewing? I said, it's Aaron Hawes. And she said, who's that? And I was like, okay, well, here, let me try to explain them. And I told her that story about the lighter in study hall. And I swear to God, I'm not lying. Right away, she's like, did he end up going into the military? There's something about that story, like, right away. And her entire family's military. Like, they're all in the military. And so somehow, like, she picked up on, like, that little detail is enough to, like, get your character right or something. She's like, oh, he likes a challenge. I don't know. I don't know what it was exactly, but.
I can't explain it. I wanted to do it. It's something that I was inspired to do. And
what made you leave the military?
So, I came off of active duty. So I was still reserves for another 6 years after I came off. So I did a total of about 10 and a half years. And at the time, you know, actually really peculiar timing, right before 9/11. And I mean, literally like the week before, I had to make a decision about what I wanted to do. And I was just at a point where I felt like I wanted to try something else. I wanted to, I just felt like I need to move beyond the military. I wanted to go out and try something in the civilian sector. There were so many things that were crossed in my mind about which way to go. I mean, I was just still trying to think it out, but it was at that point that I decided that, you know what, I'm going to transition to the reserves once my active commitment's up and, go see where life takes me after that. And, that's really it. It was that seeking a new challenge and just feeling like at the time that, I just didn't see myself being career military.
Yeah. Okay. So another thing we like to do is, could you just tell me about like a day in the life of Aaron Haas?
Okay. So actually, no 2 days are the same. So my role, I'm a district sales manager, so I actually work out of my house. I lead a team of 9 sales reps that are spread all throughout the state of Virginia and West Virginia. So, typical week, depending on where I'm working, I'm usually on the road at least 1, if not 2 weeks a month. If I'm working, let's say, in West Virginia, I will wake up, leave Monday morning at 6 or 7 in the morning, drive 5 hours to meet the rep in Morgantown or in Huntington, work with them, stay out there for a day and a half, then go work with the other West Virginia rep for a day and a half, and come back on Thursday afternoon, and Fridays are an office day. And like today my day was waking up at about 5:30 in the morning. Since I'm not customer facing, just coming downstairs in my workout clothes and started working in the office about 6, and it's usually full. I'm WebExes, conference calls, one-on-one calls with teammates, and it's a lot of business analysis and et cetera. Just a lot of office work. And I mean, it ties me up. I wrapped up around 5:30 or 6 today. So I'm either with reps in the field, riding with them in front of the customers, or I'm in front of my computer. And between all that, I try and fit in some hobbies and try and keep in some decent shape. But
what are some hobbies that you do?
So one of the things I picked up since high school, so I stopped playing saxophone, but I actually picked up guitar it's been like 9 years ago now. So I play guitar as much as I can. I just find it's a great escape for me. Fitness was a big hobby of mine up until a couple of years ago. I actually had a pretty severe hernia injury to my back that has slowed me down quite a bit. But prior to that, I was into CrossFit. I also did some of these, like I did a couple Tough Mudders. I did a Go Ruck challenge. So just generally being very active. Wife and I, of course, love Game of Thrones since we're in season right now. And I mean, this is laughable, but we're both really into music. And so I picked up the guitar and she picked up the bass, yes, because she saw how much fun I was having playing the guitar. And we were both diehard Metallica fans. I'm still a Metallica fan to this day. We actually just went to Texas and followed through Texas for a week. So lots of different stuff to keep us it's busy, but
do you play Metallica tunes together?
We do.
No yeah. way.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You gotta send us an audio clip.
I'm saying it's like concert quality that you're gonna want to record that, but
do you have any recordings of it?
No. I would have to brush something off.
You gotta make one. We'll use it as like music, like outro music or something.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
So, oh man, do you have a drummer?
No, we do not. It was actually, it's funny. So there, when I lived in Pittsburgh, there was a spell where I played guitar. I had my good buddy of mine / coworker played guitar with same musical taste. And then one of his neighbors, like, was a drummer. And, I mean, he had, like, the full deal double bass drum kit. And we would try and get together as much as work, family life, you know, allowed. But it was kind of going back, you know, being kids and just being loud with our instruments. And it was fun.
That's so great.
You play drums, Steve? We could use one.
I don't play drums, no. I play hardly anything anymore. Sometimes I get the saxophone out and try to blow on it, and it's just... It's depressing. Yeah. It's like if you go long enough without playing it, you just lose it. And your like muscles don't work in your face right anymore. And I become literally physically tired after like 10 minutes of playing the sax now. Wow. But I do have a bass, and I keep fantasizing about like learning that. Like the same thing. It's like I just feel like at this stage in my life, I just want to rock out a little bit.
Yeah.
So it's like I keep thinking of just like getting an amp. I live in a townhouse, so it's like I don't want to disturb the neighbors too much, but... We're moving soon, hopefully, and I'm hoping I have a basement. I'm going to go down there and just become a rock musician. That's my dream in life right now.
That is, I am Steve. I am 100% with you. Like that's my fallback career. If I win the lottery, I'm going to start a tribute band and a cover band.
Just do Metallica tunes and tour around. And grow your hair out.
Like some Metallica, but any of that, you know,
Slayer.
Yeah, Slayer. I also like some 90s grunge, some Alice in Chains, and some good type music.
All right, Aaron. So tell me some defining moments or struggles you've overcome since high school.
So defining moments for me, I think one of the biggest that impacted the direction my life went was that decision I made. I made it my the spring semester of my freshman year of college that I was going to become an ROTC cadet, apply for the scholarship, and commit to going into the Army. That set me on a course that it obviously put me where I'm at today. And it's something that an experience that I just changed my whole perspective and changed, really impacted me to the core. So
tell me how did it, because I didn't go through that, but I'm just curious, like how did it change?
It changed my perspective. You go through, first of all, you learn about the importance of teamwork and camaraderie and leadership, but dealing with hardship. And I mean, I say this, I'm a lightweight. There are guys that have been in some real combat situations and in true misery. I mean, even just going through the training aspect and learning to do without. I remember going through training and there'd be no hot water when you take a shower and you're just filthy and it's 50 degrees outside, but you want to be clean. You're happy to get a cold water shower. And it made me appreciate the little things. And the other thing that it did for me, and it's going to sound like a statement of the obvious, but I remember this moment when I was in Texas, I was taking some grad courses at night. So active duty Army, going to this grad courses. And it's like this epiphany came to me that I just couldn't grasp when I was in high school or even in college. I sat down in the class. The instructor said, okay, do X, Y, and Z. You'll get an A. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's it. Like just the focus, like, okay, the discipline, like I just do this and I get an A. I'm just going to do this then. And that perspective that for whatever reason, just I watched other people in the class and I couldn't understand why they were struggling. And it's just, I don't know. I don't know if it's like that Forrest Gump moment, like, you know, why'd you put that things together so quickly? Because you told me to. I mean, it was that kind of mindset that it put in me.
But I feel like you were a really good student. You were like honors and stuff. So you didn't you do that beforehand, or was it not this?
Not as intense. beforehand. I think that what it was for me personally was the discipline aspect and the accountability. I learned a lot of that in the military, especially being in leadership roles, the how you lead, how you as a leader, you are accountable. And it framed everything and set the structure for me for the rest of everything else I've done since.
Okay, cool.
You think that sort of discipline, is it like once you learn it, it stays with you? Like, it doesn't go away now that you are not active duty. Like, it's still there, or do you feel like it's something you have to keep working on, like exercise?
I think you always have to work on it a little bit, but I will say with the experience there is when I catch myself, like, I know I can, because I can almost like hear the military officer in me, like, you know, if I'm griping about something, like, suck it up, cupcake, you've been through worse, or, you know, or like, you know, you're the manager, you own this, you're responsible. And it puts that sanity check there that, for me, I just appreciate having, and I owe it all to the military.
So, okay. So what about some struggles you've overcome? This is a chance. This is a chance, Aaron, right here. You don't have to. I mean, I know it's hard to talk about struggles, but it is an opportunity if you wanted to take it to, you know, make yourself a little vulnerable
not hold the finger over the fire.
But I mean, you definitely don't have. I know it's not easy. You don't have to. And I'm really grateful that you're doing the show. But like, if you, it might be helpful, and it might allow. I like you, and I think you're a good friend. And even though I haven't talked to you for a while, but like, I can tell you're a good guy. And I would be interested to know of a struggle that you overcame.
Oh gosh. here's one I will tell you. So, Mike, you had alluded to it earlier. So, when I came into high school, I was this tall, lanky guy with big, thick glasses, kind of nerdy, dorky. And, obviously I shed that initial look, bad fashion choices, but one thing that I will say, especially struggled with my freshman year of high school, and to a certain extent, I'm introverted and on the awkward side. And it was, for me, a lot of the evolution I went through was to get myself past that. The military forced me to get past that, because when you're in charge of a group of people, you have to be assertive. You've got to be in control. You've got to be dominant. Sales. For me, I recognize that if I want to keep developing and I want to keep growing in my career, like, it's a skill set that I absolutely dreaded. I just never saw myself doing that. Like, this is not my personality. And because of that, I forced myself. I took it as a challenge to overcome that and be successful at it. So, for me, that if it's coming down to like a challenge I've overcome, I definitely put that in there, because it would have been, I think about ROTC, I think it would have been really easy for me to just kind of pull back and not push myself out of my comfort zone and keep doing what I'm doing, but you don't grow that way. And that's, I constantly look for those type of situations.
Okay. Yeah. That's good. I appreciate you talking about that. Did you get picked on or anything in school? I mean, I don't remember that, but did you at all? Like, were there?
Early on during the awkward phase, there, maybe some, but I think everyone has some phase like that when you're wearing purple glasses. So, for me personally, early, it was more so like I need to come out of my shell. And that's just the adversity that I decided to overcome.
Okay. Well, yeah, thanks for talking about that and making yourself vulnerable. I don't know what I'm talking.
Make yourself vulnerable, Mike.
That's my theme for that thing. I mean, I just think it's, you know, that's for me. I just feel like you can connect more with people that way. It's like real. It's more real. And that's why I like that. You know, I think it's good. It's good. You know, I feel like I know Aaron a little bit better from it, and that's not. It's good. So
it's also anyway, stuff you maybe couldn't have talked about in high school. I feel like too. Like
yeah. Just, yeah. Exactly.
Like you can't be vulnerable in high school.
No.
Yeah. Or even like at a reunion, like it's hard. You can't, you don't talk about those things. So like, it's nice to talk about it and connect, you know? So what about turning 40, Aaron? Like, how do you feel since you've turned 40, like middle age, you know, now that we're reaching our middle age, how's that affecting you?
I feel like the warranty on my body's expired.
This is definitely a theme of the show.
Yeah. Like
Josh Bear had a groin injury. You had a hernia injury, did you say?
A herniated disc in my lower back. Yeah, I was it's amazing to me. All the way through my 30s, I was, you know, I consider myself pretty physically fit. I mean, I wasn't like a triathlete or anything like that, but pretty physically fit. And then I ended up with this back injury, and to this day, I'm not exactly sure what caused it. I just happened to go out for a run one morning on a 50 degree day in Pittsburgh, and in February, that's like summertime, right?
Yeah, so it's a nice day.
Went out for a run and my leg was hurting. I thought it was just, I was out of shape, whatever. Kept doing CrossFit, kept doing deadlifts, squats. And then turns out it was a herniated disc, and it was reaching a point I could barely walk or sit in the car. And that injury, I've never got surgery for it, but I mean, I was just trying to bide out the time. But that injury, I just dealt with the flare up of it a couple months ago, and it really, really curtailed me. So I'm like, oh gosh, it's just like all this stuff that I could recover from, and now this happens. And then on top of that, my metabolism, which always seemed like it was always churning, decided to stop working. And so I was not working out, but eating like I was still working out. And then we all know how it goes.
I go to a doctor who's just like, anything I tell him is wrong with me. He's like, well, yeah, you're 40 now. Like, he'll literally say stuff like that. I gained 10 pounds. I hurt my knee playing basketball. He's like, just don't play basketball. You can't do that anymore. Yeah. Stop it. This is crazy.
Yeah. I've got, some shoulder issues and some slight arthritis in my right shoulder from years and years and years of push-ups and you name it.
Were you gonna say something, Steve?
No, I was just wondering, like, do you notice, Aaron, like anything, like, since turning 40, like, do you feel like you're having a midlife crisis or anything like that, like anything emotional? Like one of the things. Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. No.
Like one of the reasons Mike and I started this podcast is Mike read this article about how men in their middle ages, like once they're around 40, they have trouble maintaining male friendships, basically.
Yeah, like, and they basically lose friends, and they don't even really realize that they don't have many friends, but. Yeah.
I think I've seen that same arc, or at least that same research. And, yeah, like I can't say anything like terribly traumatic since I turned 40, other than it's the silly things. But I look in the mirror at myself now, I'm like, what happened?
Yeah. Yeah. What? Like, why has this happened to me?
Yeah, like where did I go wrong?
I know. I was thinking about that. Like, if we were, you know, in high school, and then one day we looked in the mirror and we looked like we do now, we'd be like, "What the? I gotta go to the ER right now."
I went to the class reunion. It was like walking into a fun house or something. Like everybody I kind of recognized, but they had been distorted grotesquely. And I was like, "Man, everyone else looks terrible. I don't know. I'm still the same."
Grotesque versions of ourselves.
It's really horrifying. It's more horrifying than I was prepared for.
Yeah.
Like, I react with horror literally sometimes. Like, oh my God.
Well, you see that, and then you're like, well, wait, what do I look like? out of life here.
Yeah. What am I going to look like in another 20 years? That's really terrible to think about.
Like, how is it I look so tired all the time?
I feel tired all the time.
I'm with you. I'm telling you guys, this is like a party night for me at 10 o'clock on a Friday.
Yeah, I know. Friday night used to be like the night to stay up. Now it's like the night, like I come home and I crash on the couch trying to watch sitcoms or something. Yeah. I just fall asleep halfway through an episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
Thanks for staying up late with us, Aaron. There's one more segment.
All right.
This is the fun segment. Are you ready for this? This is the Make This Sound With Your Mouth Only game.
Okay.
Are you ready for this? Do you have a lighter? Do you have a lighter?
We should do that game instead of make the sound of your mouth only.
Yeah, maybe we should start a new segment. Burn your hand.
Who can burn your hand the longest?
Aaron would definitely win that. Okay. So, all right. So yeah, I'm gonna make this. I have a sound ready, and I'm gonna play this sound, and it's gonna repeat twice. And then we're all going to go around. We're going to try it one at a time, try to make this sound and see who does it the best. Okay? So, okay. Are you ready? You ready, Aaron?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. Okay, here's the sound. It's going to repeat twice. You only have to do it once. Okay, so here's the sound. You can just listen to it. It's going to repeat. Okay. So do you feel like you heard that pretty?
I think so. It might be a little outside my range, but I'll see what I can do.
Okay, ready? Go.
That's close.
You got the rhythm down. Okay.
And Steve. The timbre. The timbre is pretty good.
The finesse. Okay.
Ready?
Okay.
Is it me now? Ready?
I'll play it again, Steve. Here you go.
Okay.
Go for it.
It's high. Like in my head, I thought I could hit that note, but I cannot.
No.
Not even close.
Okay.
I'm going to try whistling instead.
Ready? Are you guys ready to be blown away?
Let's hear the master.
Bring it home.
That was horrible. Just like its feel and essence, its spirit. I was going for its spirit.
It was like really avant-garde, yet that's like concept. Art approach to it.
Yeah. Okay.
That's
who won that?
I think. I don't know. Seemed like Aaron.
I think Steve did. He got closest to the pitch.
Steve won. Damn it.
Yes. Thank you.
Well, Aaron, thanks so much, man, for taking the time, staying up late, and doing this. I mean, really, I think it's cool. Thanks. I asked Aaron if he'd do it, and he's like, absolutely. That's all he said. Absolutely. Right away. So thanks a lot, man.
Hey, thanks for having me.
That might be the fastest answer yet, too.
Yeah.
Like some of the others we had to sort of explain, like, okay, here's what we're doing. Don't worry. It's going to be fine. But Aaron right away was like,
cool. Trust fall for me. I'm like, I don't think these guys would do me wrong. So
Mike was like on Tuesday this week, this is Friday. Like I think Tuesday, Mike's like, oh, we should talk to Aaron. I said, yeah, that's great. Great idea. And I thought, okay, we'll hear from him in like 2 weeks, or we'll have to go back and forth. And then it was like, hey, can you do the call Friday? Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty remarkable. Cool. It was like, questions asked.
So a funny aside with this, I was telling my wife what I was doing. And she's like, do you even know anything about it? Do you know? She's like, you could be on meatmarket.com.
That is our URL, actually. We might try to sell the rights to this to meatmarket.com, see if they're buying. We are looking for sponsors, meatmarket.com.
So there you go. You can have a little banner across the
All right. Well, I guess that does it. I don't know. Is there anything else, Steve? Anything?
I don't think so. It's great seeing you again, Aaron, catching up. It's been a long time.
Yes, it has. Good to see you guys too.
All right.
All right.
Okay, thanks, okay. man.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Thanks a lot, talk Aaron.
See you. Bye now.
Bye.
Okay, that wraps up the interview. Thanks everyone so much for listening, and thank you to Aaron for taking your time to do the interview. So just want to remind everyone about our website, cfhs94.com. We post the podcast there and also notes about the interviews there. Also, we have a voicemail box. Feel free to call and leave a message. Our number is 330-731-1335. You can also leave a plug, like just say something like, "Hi, this is so-and-so, and I'm listening to the Mike and Steve podcast," and we'll include it in our next show or one of our next shows. Also subscribe, like, and review our podcast on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. And yeah.
All right. Thanks, Mike. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We will be back in 1 month for real with our next guest, who will be Heather Lyle Shaw. And we will leave you now with some highlights from that upcoming interview. See you next time.
Yeah, I had something called SVT, which was supraventricular tachycardia, where your heart would race really fast. They did an operation, and like a day and a half later, I was 19. I had a heart attack.
Is it cool having a daughter going to Falls still? Like, what's that like?
Honestly, it's sad to go in there and see the our high school is a big piece. It's just falling apart.
Really?
It's really bad.